Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pep Talk, Pepperdine University's podcast dedicated to sparking conversations of personal and global significance, featuring world-renowned professors, faculty, and students from across the university. In this Pep Talk series, we will be discussing relationships. Whether you are single or married, a parent or a grandparent, a professional or an executive, relationships are an essential part of our lives. Join us as we explore how to build relationships and navigate their challenges in today's world. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Pep Talk. On today's episode of Pep Talk, we're unpacking the Pain and Peace Cycle, which is a core piece of the Boone Center's Relate Strong and Relate Strong Leadership Series curriculums. When we're triggered, we all have patterns that lead to hurt, but there's also a path that can lead to peace. Dee Dee will guide us through this model today and share how it can transform the way that we respond in conflict. Dee Dee, welcome back to Pep Talk.
Well, it's awesome to get to be with you guys. Fun to get to have the conversations we have.
Awesome. So what is the Pain and Peace Cycle and how did it originate and how does it relate to the Boone Center and its mission?
Yeah, Sharon Hargrave and Terry Hargrave are the founders of a model of therapy called Restoration Therapy. Mm-hmm. And that was theoretically created in an environment of marriage intensives. Mm-hmm. And so you think about a marriage intensive. You don't go to a marriage intensive because you're looking for a retreat. You go to a marriage intensive because it's, if this doesn't work, we're not going to be together anymore. Mm. And in piloting the Pain and the Peace Cycle and the four steps, they discovered that 2 years post-intensive, 83% of couples were still together.
Wow.
And so the difference in the Pain and Peace Cycle is it's focused on the power of getting yourself to a place where you can bring your healthiest self to the relationship. Mm-hmm. That if each partner is doing their part to bring a healthy self to the relationship, that relationship can thrive. And Relate Strong was built off of that same framework. It's more of a psychoeducational model that can be used with lay counselors and ministry leaders. It's the foundation of all our programs for every conversation. And it's built on, we all have stories of pain. I've, you know, traveled around the world, and I have never had someone that has made it through the condition, the human condition or condition of life in their story without pain. Mm-hmm. All of us have pain, and yet we live in a culture that is very averse to pain. We don't have a lot of environments where we learn how to hold pain. Mm-hmm. And pain left unchecked shapes the way we believe about ourselves, who we are, and how we operate in the world today. And it affects the way we show up in relationships. Mm. It affects our attachment, right? It affects whether I feel safe connecting with you or not, and whether I feel like people are safe to connect to. And so that's really the framework where it originated. And then quickly it expanded past marriage, because it's really not about the marriage. It's about building a healthy self, the inner skills, and what are the things that get in the way of me growing up to maturity and getting myself grounded on a firm foundation of who I am and how I can operate in the world around me. And so it does five things. The Relate Strong model does five things. The first thing it does is it casts a vision for what life in relationship is like. It reorients us to what we can expect in relationship with one another in a variety of ways. Parent-child, sibling, friend, marriage, coworker, colleague. It orients us to what God's design for connection is. Mm-hmm. I was with Terry Hargrave last week, and one of the things he said really struck me. And he said so many programs focus on spiritual formation, but formation doesn't happen outside of relationship. Mm-hmm. It's in the crucible of relationship that who we are is tested. And so you cannot grow to maturity outside of relationship. Mm-hmm. And I really loved what he had to say about that. So that's the first thing that Relate Strong does. Second thing that it does is that it helps us understand our pain cycles. Every human being on the planet, because we have pain, has a cycle of pain. We don't get upset for 10,000 different reasons. We usually have a couple of activators that impact the way we respond in life. And we go around typically very aware of everyone else's pain, right? We could call somebody else's pain. You notice that in yourself at all? That we can point out what somebody else is doing wrong, but aware of somebody else's actions and how they impact us, But very few of us walk around aware of how our actions or the way we engage the world impacts other people. Mm. And so our pain cycle helps us not only understand, what did my story activate in me? What lie has it got me believing that impacts the way I look at myself, my identity, and impacts the way I view being connected with other people?
Mm-hmm.
What does it make me do? How does it cause me to respond? And how does it impact other people? How do they respond to me in light of that? So that's the second thing that relates strong dogs. The third thing is that...
I'm sorry, this might be a little bit of a digression
okay,
here.
Okay, go.
But I just feel like it really begs the question of like, oh, if identifying your pain cycle is going to, as I think we're about to find out, lead to being able to wrestle with and walk forward in peace, like, how do you do it, right? If it's harder to see it in yourself than in other people, how do you know?
Right. Okay. So here's what I'll do. Let me walk through my own pain cycle so you'll get a nice picture, right? I grew up in a home environment where there was addiction. I grew up in a home where there was alcoholism addiction. I also grew up in a home where there was a lot of anger. And I have five brothers and two sisters, so a large number of siblings. It wouldn't be surprising. All you need to know about my story is that I might not have grown up feeling safest, right? So feeling unsafe would make sense, right? I grew up in a home where there was anger and there was addiction. It made my environment not reliable, not predictable. There were a lot of hidden things. Addiction was hidden. So I didn't have a truth. And so it was an unstable, unreliable environment. It would also not be surprising to know that growing up in a litter of kids, that I didn't necessarily feel seen all the time. As the oldest girl, I believed that I didn't really matter, that everything fell on me to hold together because I had really small siblings. My siblings were young. When I feel that way, when I feel unsafe, when I feel like everything falls on my shoulders, and when I feel like I'm not worthy of love or I'm unseen and invisible, what I do is I perform. I'm a fighter, right? We'll either respond with fight or flight. Somebody can grow up in my same environment and their reactivity might be more flight. Like they tap out escape, they avoid conflict, they self-protect, or they shame themselves, right? I'm much more of a fighter by nature. So what you're going to see more from me is a control. So I step in and try to control every situation because if I can control the environment, I can keep myself safe. I could keep my brothers and sisters safe. If I perform, I could get you to notice me. You could see that I have value, right? Can you see that those are natural?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you want to be around a critical person who's controlling and needs to do it their way all the time? And we're awful to be around. And when you're around something like somebody like that, how do you respond?
I mean, probably you start entering into like pain cycle type of things too.
Yeah.
Right? It sort of multiplies. Yeah. I guess.
When my husband can do nothing right, it gets him pretty frustrated.
Yeah.
Right? When my kids can do nothing right and I'm criticizing what they're doing, then they run away from me, which triggers and activates me feeling unsafe, like I'm not good enough, like it all falls on me to work on it.
So it's just a spiral.
Right? So do you see pain begets pain begets pain? I am actually creating a self-fulfilling prophecy of the lies that I believe by engaging in behaviors that are my survival skills. They taught me how to survive, but they are destructive to life and relationship.
Yeah.
They're destructive to my identity. They don't feed good things into my identity. Right. So that's a pain cycle. Every human being on the planet has one because we all have stories of pain. And we all, those stories of pain, those violations of love and trust, impact the way we view ourselves and the way that we engage the world. The third thing that Relate Strong does, it helps us identify a regulating truth. So many therapies or programs rely on the behavior. They're chasing my behaviors. But just like an addict that goes into treatment who comes out smoking, we just find alternative behaviors to help us cope. Our problem isn't the faulty behavior. It's actually the faulty belief, right? And so my problem isn't that I'm controlling. My problem, that's a result of, anxiety is a result of a lie that I believe that I'm unsafe. And so I've got to correct that. I've got to find a regulating truth that reorients me into what is truest about me, right? My pain comes from three different sources. Typically, it'll either be my family of origin, but families of origin get a lot of flack. They're not always the problem. Sometimes we grow up in a great family and then we go to middle school, right? And we're just not the best people in our middle school.
Yeah.
We might have a teacher. We might have friends that are difficult. We might have other people that are difficult. But and then the third is life circumstance. We just had fires here in Malibu. Mm. So you lose your home. It's disorienting, right? It re-alters your reality. It changes. You know, my kids lost a lot of people in their life. Mm. And so for them, when you're little and you realize people that you love could die and not come back, it's painful. Mm. And it's a painful reality. So I need a regulating truth that helps me to stand on a firm foundation. And I get my truth from three main areas. The most authoritative is what God has to say about me, right? Who I am in Christ, what he has to say about me, what I believe, my worldview, a truth that is bigger than me that I have to seek to find. That's the most authoritative. The second is my family, my surrounding, my body of Christ, other people get to speak life and truth into me. The most important is, honestly, the most important is myself. Mm-hmm. And the reason is I have the power to veto. And in the church, we do this all the time. Stick a verse on your anxiety and you'll feel better. Like God says, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication. Like we throw things out there. But you ever had somebody say God loves you and you just kind of, you know it's true, but you don't believe it? Mm. Like you're not in that place where it has any power? Mm. I could carry around a massive water bottle everywhere I go and everyone's going to think I'm hydrated. But I'm not hydrated until I drink enough of that water, not only to saturate me at a cellular level.
Yeah.
So this isn't just finding a word that we throw on. It's addressing the faulty belief, the lie. Take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. The fourth thing that we do is we help clients understand, identify, and experience a peace cycle. Mm-hmm. It is counter to the pain cycle. Hmm. It's instead of my destructive coping, which in that I'm blaming other people, pointing a finger out. Everything's your fault. I'm shaming, pointing a finger at me. It's my fault. Controlling, my favorite, which, you know, you can see. And then tapping out the flight response is escape. Those are where addictions lie, right? I'm just going to remove myself. In the peace cycle, instead of blaming other people, I can be nurturing to you, right? When I am grounded on a sense of identity, a firm sense of identity, who I am, and a sense of safety in the world, then I can nurture you. I can actually operate and care for myself in the equation. Mm-hmm. I can have a balance of give and take. You can have a good idea. My husband can have a good idea. Sometimes his ideas are far better than mine. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be in control to keep me safe. And I don't need to perform to earn your regard for me or your love for me. I'm secure. Mm-hmm. And instead of detaching, I can stay meaningfully connected, right? And then we practice the pain and peace cycle in four simple steps that really actually do the work of creating new neural pathways. Say what I feel, say what that makes me do, say the truth, defend it until I believe it, defend it until it saturates my cells, and then have an action that solidifies that belief. That's what builds a new neural pathway of response. So that's, in a nutshell, that's our pain and our peace cycle. And what we do in the Relate Strong program is we help people understand what did your story teach you about your identity and sense of safety in the world? Hmm. How does it uniquely cause you to engage with the people you care about most, engage in the workplace, engage in a relationship with yourself? How does it feed itself? Can you name and label that it is doing destruction? Hmm. What's the regulating truth that sets you free? That gets you grounded and secure in who you are and how you can engage a broken world, right? And for me, that picture is safety's hard. Safety's hard because we live in an unsafe world. That's the reality. And Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we just want to throw a sticker on it, like throw a verse at it, we'll be good. We need to do a little more work. My safety is in God's economy. My ultimate security is stable. That I'm not supposed to be okay on this side of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have agency. I always have power to choose my response. I'm never without choice. I always have some power. Yeah. And that settles my safety, right? The second, when I feel that way, right? And my identity is secure. Like, I know who I am. I know I'm loved. I have a family that loves me. I can stand on that. And when I feel that way, I'm not controlling. I can step in. I can nurture. I cannot be critical. I can affirm those around me. And guess how people respond when I'm acting that way? They want to be with me.
Yeah.
They want to process problems with me. They want to spend time and connect. And so that feeds the truth. So our pain cycle feeds our pain. Our peace cycle feeds the truth. And it grounds us. That's what regulation is. That's what getting me grounded on a firm foundation of who I am in Christ, how I can engage a world in the world in a healthy way.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it is so unique and different and is so powerful because it puts the power back in your hands. You're not defined by the worst thing that happened to you, by the worst decision you made, and that you have the power. You can make an empowered choice to do something different at any moment. So in our work with foster youth, we do this. Can I share a story of what this tangibly looks like, these four
please.
Steps look like? Like, and I'm just going to be totally transparent in my own sin, right? Because I want people to know, right? I'm controlling. I can be controlling. And my son, I have three adult kids. My son wanted to go into the military about a couple years ago. And for somebody that has safety issues, right, grew up in an angry home, cares about controlling my environment, wants to keep my kids safe, I hope you can see how that would be activating for me, right? I can't control my son's well-being. I can't keep him safe if he's in the military, right? And so my son comes up to me a couple years ago after he has told me he wants to go into the military. And he says, Mom, I'm really, really mad at you. My whole family knows the pain and peace cycle. We operate in it.
Wow.
Highs and lows to that. I mean, it's really, this is really powerful. And so he comes and tells me that. And I say, can you tell me a little more? Tell me a little bit more about what you're upset about. And he says, Mom, every time I bring up going into the military, you're manipulative. You tell me all the reasons why I shouldn't. You tell me to go back to the Lord and pray about it. You're making me second guess who I am. Now, in that moment, I'm feeling like such a failure, right? As a mom, I'm feeling like he's called me out. I'm feeling unsafe in that moment. And I got a couple options, right, of what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to do is recognize my son is a little unsure. Maybe I can double down here. But what I'm robbing myself up is of his relationship with my son. So I've got to gird myself on some truth. And I want you to capture this truth doesn't fix my problem. Truth is, I'm lying to myself thinking I can keep my son safe. Doesn't matter what he does. I mean, we had four precious young ladies that lost their life here at Pepperdine a little over 2 years ago. None of us have power to control our safety. Or our children's safety. God, I wish we did.
Yeah.
But we don't. And that's what part of living in this broken world is. And so I don't have that option. Second option, I need to recognize I trust my son. My son has so much integrity. He feels called to serve in the military. He's questioned this. He's worked and prayed. He wants to potentially step into a political realm, and he doesn't feel like you should do that unless you've sacrificed for the country. And so I can respect the integrity of his decision, right? And so instead of wanting to control the environment and be manipulative, my choice is step number four, right? I'm going to step in and say, I'm sorry, you're 100% right. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness. And can we try it again? Can I support you again? Right? And I want you to see how that shapes relationship. I build trust. Well, 1 week later, my son comes to me and says, hey, Mom, can we have a conversation? Yeah. Mom, I'm scared. What if I don't have what it takes? What if I die? I would have robbed myself of intimacy if I couldn't regulate.
Yeah.
If I couldn't get myself grounded on truth, I would have missed out on the opportunity to get to walk alongside in life with my son and be there for him when he needed me to be there. And I'm now set free. When I realize God has control of my son's safety, when he comes home and shows me a picture of him rappelling out of a Blackhawk, I don't have to be so afraid. I can actually align with him and say, that had to be the most coolest experience of your life. Like, that had to be incredible. And I can share in joy with him what he's doing and what God has called him to. And I can walk alongside him in the pain and fear. I am set free to be his mom. Mm-hmm. I'm not needing him to care for my sense of safety. Mm. I hope that orients. Mm. Step one, name, I'm feeling unsafe and I'm feeling like a failure as a mom. Step two, I want to control it and I'm being manipulative. Step three, walk through my truth. Step four, apologize. Mm. Do something different.
Yeah.
Right? Do you see the difference in how it shapes?
Totally.
In practicality, how I show up. And it changes the relationship. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And I have his permission to tell this story before.
Hopefully anyway, or else if you're listening out there, you'll just never hear this, so you won't be listening.
No, I have his permission.
No, that's powerful, though.
Can you see how it could shape a family? Can you see how it could shape a dating relationship?
Oh,
totally. Can you see how it shapes the way we engage the world?
Well, and when you think about the compound effect of, like, those decisions on, like, on top of each other, one after the other, if you're continuing to build that trust versus continuing to operate in your pain cycle and, like, drive people away.
Yeah.
Like, what a difference those two, like, ways of operating will make in the long term.
Yeah.
It's, like, hard to fathom.
Yeah. And this work is what sets us up to tolerate intimacy, to sets us up to grow to authentic intimacy and be what God designed for us to be together, right? It sets us up to sharpen one another, grow together, learn what it means to be interdependent and connected as the body of Christ. It really sets us up well. Now, I do want to cast a caveat here, and we say this all the time in our trainings and seminars where we do this. You know, we look for a fast tool that's going to fix everything. You know, I practice this. I was practicing it this morning. I practice this daily. Like, this isn't just something that you try on one time. It's something that my family uses regularly in every conversation that can be activating. We work our four steps.
Yeah.
We recognize the pain that's getting activated. We recognize our destructive coping strategies. We step into truth and we reorient ourselves in new actions, right? And it gets easier and easier. But if you don't practice it, it's a new tool to put in your toolbox. Yeah. If you practice it, it changes your life. If you don't, not as much.
I love how reciprocal it is, you know, versus other therapies or other ways to cope. Like, you're learning about how you respond to something, but also, like you said with your example of your son, like, you're processing it at the same time. And then at the end of the day, at the end of going through the pain to the peace cycle, you both are growing that relationship with the trust.
Yeah,
it's
and
really beautiful.
And so many therapies point at you. Like, when you're doing it's when you did this, it made me feel this way. That's co-regulation. Mm-hmm. I need you to fix something. Mm-hmm. None of that. And think about the difference. When I'm pointing a finger at you and telling you you did something wrong, how do you feel, by the way?
Unsafe.
Right. But in the four steps, I'm telling on myself.
Yeah.
I'm telling on myself. I'm feeling this way. Mm-hmm. With my husband, I'm feeling this way. And what I want to do is lash out at you. But the truth is, you love me. You're secure. I'm safe with you. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And so I can step in a different way. And let me just tell you, when I can do that, my husband's like, let me lean in. Mm-hmm. Let me lean in. Mm-hmm. It just changes the narrative. Mm-hmm. It changes the power of the lie.
Yeah.
Take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. When we step into truth, that's where we find flourishing.
That's awesome. Well, that's amazing. I think we should wrap up this episode, but thank you so much today, Dee Dee, for sharing a bit about this important piece of your curriculum. For our listeners who are interested, please check out our link below if you want to get in contact with the Boone Center about their programming, learn more about the Pain and Peace Cycle. It will all be linked below. Thank you guys so much for joining us in the Pep Talk.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.